Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, May the 6th. Coming up, there are fuel price fears for bosses at Kent's Air Ambulance.
£25,000 extra just to continue what we're doing now in delivering the service across Kent, Surrey and Sussex.
A group of endangered lions have arrived at a Kent animal park.
In one reserve in India, they have 400 and there's 200 sitting outside. So we only have 600 left in the wild, which is really sad. OK, so the zoo's job now is to breed them in the zoos and eventually they will be released back.
And the lineup for Kent's biggest Pride event has been confirmed.
We've got Atomic Kitten, we've got House Gospel Choir. We're also welcoming back Booty Love, who is a personal favourite of mine. I can't wait to see them again.
But first, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. People living next to a building site in Medway say their lives have been made a misery by dust and vibrations. Now, the first phase of the Capstan Oaks development off North Dame Way in Lordswood, which is near Chatham, will have around 91 homes. The building forms part of the wider East Hill development, which will eventually have up to 800 properties, along with a new primary school, shops and open space. Construction started last month, but neighbours in Hampshire Close and Barleymow Close have complained. They say construction noise is also an issue. Keith Thompson is one of them.
So what it basically is that all the floor was, you know, vibrating and everything, causing these places to go. But I mean, it was doing it, you know, several days before I started to complain. I did, I contacted the council on several occasions about it, and they, you know, sort of bluffed me off, yeah, you need to speak to so-and-so, so-and-so, and I emailed them as well. I got an email back stating that an environmental officer was going over to the site, and after his visit, he came back and said that everything seems in order, but they are installing vibration meters and a dust meter as well. So, you know, I just felt as though I was banging my head against the wall, came in and I explained everything. I mean, with the vibration, my main concern is that the vibration would disturb the footings and the foundations of my property. Because I say, I just cannot, you know, you wouldn't believe it really. I've also got upstairs and I can hear, I could hear the tiles on the roof vibrating as well. So, if it was going on when I was having a bath, the actual bath itself, all the rippling in the water, you know. The dust, I mean, everything is just covered in dust. It's gone a little bit now because we had that rain a couple of nights ago, but I mean, it got to the point where you could not have a window open, you could not hang in any washing out, and I mean, you certainly couldn't sit out there. It's just not good enough.
Now, Taylor Wimpey and Vistry Group, which operates locally as Bovis Homes, are the people behind the project, and they've sent us this statement.
We understand that our ongoing work at East Hill Chatham has raised concerns among some local residents, and we sincerely apologise for any inconvenience caused. We would like to assure the community that all work is being carried out in accordance with an approved construction environmental management plan and that appropriate measures are in place to mitigate disruption. We're in regular contact with Medway Council about our work on site and the situation will continue to be closely monitored as works progress.
Drone pictures within the story at Kent Online today show the scale of the development. Residents have also provided images of their cars covered in dust and one picture shows a patio table coated in a thick yellow sand-like substance. You can read that story in full today by heading to the website.
Kent Online News.
The top stories for you now, and a woman's admitted killing a man after losing control of her car in Sheerness. Rosie Hanson was delivering a takeaway when she struck the 27-year-old on Marine Parade in January 2024. The 21-year-old from Mimosa Avenue in Minster claims she was startled by an animal. She's been released on bail until July. A group of burglars who targeted a home near Folkestone while armed with machetes have been jailed for a total of almost 19 years. Police were called to Hawkinge in November 2024 after the homeowners came face to face with the raiders. A 23 and 36-year-old admitted aggravated burglary, while a 34-year-old has been convicted for his involvement in plotting the crime. A motorcyclist in his 60s has died after crashing into a hedgerow near Ashford. He was travelling in a convoy with a group of riders when his bike left the carriageway on Military Road near Appledore on Bank Holiday Monday. Investigators are keen to speak to anyone with dashcam footage. Now, next on today's episode, the Dartford MP has told the podcast that lessons need to be learned after a major water supply issue at a Kent hospital. Patients and staff have been told not to drink or wash in water from taps in a large part of Darrent Valley. It's after it became contaminated, and while repairs have been carried out, we still don't know if it's safe. I've been speaking to Jim Dixon.
I have been receiving reports from constituents who are either in hospital themselves or are caring for loved ones who are in hospital that some of the washing arrangements are not as strong as they should be, and therefore there are possible personal hygiene and medical hygiene issues. The bottled water that are being distributed by the hospital isn't necessarily reaching all those who need it at the time they need it. And it is a concerning situation. And I've been very clear with the hospital in conversations I've had over the last couple of days that they absolutely must make sure that patient safety isn't compromised by what is a very difficult situation affecting at least half of the hospital and some of the key parts of what the hospital provides.
Indeed, you don't want to go into hospital and then end up being sick because of facilities within the hospital. This has been going on for quite a long time. Do you think they've reacted quickly enough to tackling the problem?
Well, as you may know, the problem is contamination of the water supply. The source of that contamination was dealt with quickly, and now they are waiting for clearance that none of the water supply, either for washing or for drinking, is still compromised. And that's what's taking time. And I'm very keen that they should get on with getting those results in, the analysis done, and they can start using the hospital water facilities as previously, as soon as possible. And that's the message I've been sending on behalf of my constituents to the leadership at Darrent Valley.
And importantly, Jim, I guess what has to happen to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again in future?
Well, I've said to the leadership team there that after the immediate problems are managed and the water supply is back to normal, I want to understand what robust plans can be put into place to ensure that this doesn't happen again. I'd also like the team to take me through step by step exactly how this happened and what contingency and emergency plans they had in place to deal with a situation like this. They do assure me that a water outage is part of their emergency planning, so they've clearly allowed that to kick in, but I want to go through that and just make sure that everything is tight as it possibly can, so that if such a thing were to happen again, we really must make sure it doesn't. But if in the unlikely event it were to happen again, that the planning and the arrangements to ensure patient safety isn't compromised or as robust as they possibly can be.
We're told results of tests on the water should be known by the end of the week. Hospital bosses have apologised and say bottled water is available along with alternative washing facilities. In a statement on the hospital's website, they acknowledge the frustration and inconvenience this is causing. That statement goes on to say the issue is being treated with the utmost seriousness.
Kent Online reports.
An Ashford man who spent 2 years blackmailing a vulnerable victim out of £22,000 has been jailed. Rico Castle met the man back in 2021 and began pressuring him for money. He later threatened to harm the victim and those he cared about if he refused. But the 21-year-old from Willesborough Road in Kennington was charged following a complex police investigation. He's now been locked up for 3 years and 4 months. A burglar who was caught searching the bedroom of a home in Maidstone has been sent to prison. Martin Airy was already being investigated for a jewellery theft when he was caught at the property last August. The 58-year-old from Quarry Road has been locked up for 5 years and 4 months. Travellers have pitched up on farmland near Canterbury just weeks after planning permission to station caravans there was denied. A mobile home has been installed on the plot at 3 acres in Hoth. Council bosses say a notice has been issued to stop all work on the land. Now, the air ambulance charity covering Kent has raised some serious concerns today about the impact of the Iran war on the cost of fuel for their helicopters. Bosses say aviation fuel has risen by 63% since the start of the conflict. That means the organisation is having to find extra money to cover an increased cost of £25,000 a month to fly life-saving missions. Richard Dukovli is a paramedic at the charity and head of operations.
I have great admiration for our fundraising team. I think it's the hardest job in this charity. I have the best job. I have the privilege of going out and treating patients alongside my colleagues. And I think we all know that, you know, people are trying to fill their cars up and the prices have gone up on the forecourt. People are going shopping. The weekly or monthly food shop is expensive now. So for a charity to be funded by the community, we know it's tough times and people haven't always got the spare pound to give. So really, we're just trying to raise some awareness that we have this challenge, currently financial, but we are also keeping a very close eye on the supply chain of the jet fuel that we use for the helicopters. But yeah, like I said, £25,000 extra just to continue what we're doing now in delivering the service across Kent, Surrey and Sussex.
You mentioned there the supply of the fuel, because we have heard about some commercial flights that have been cancelled. I mean, what's the situation at the moment as far as you're concerned?
So we are keeping a very close eye on the supply chain. The air ambulance community across the UK is very collaborative, which is brilliant. So we're working together and we have an overarching body called Air Ambulances UK, who are engaged with the Department of Transport, so central government. So we've got a voice. They know that our fuel use is critical, and there is a lot of work going on in the background to secure the supply chain. If at the moment we haven't seen an issue, we've seen the cost, but we haven't seen the supply issue. But that's not to say it's not around the corner. So we are working very closely, like I said, with all the other air ambulances, with our overarching body and the government. And there's some really positive engagement. So that's quite reassuring.
And I'm sure you're hoping that you don't ever get to the point, Richard, where you have to say, I'm sorry, we literally can't afford to get to that emergency. I mean, that would be an awful situation to be in, wouldn't it?
It would be heartbreaking. I think we're a long way from that. I think we will dig deep and we will keep flying, because we know the helicopter is life-saving for those patients that are having a really bad day. They've got critical illness, critical injury, and they need the valuable support that the team can provide from Air Ambulance Charity Kent, Surrey and Sussex. The helicopter is what gets us to these patients quickly. It also then gets that patient from wherever they are into the specialist hospital quickly, 170 miles an hour, straight line. We know they're not very economical, but we do, when we use them for the patient's benefit, they are absolutely life-saving.
Yeah, absolutely. And just remind us how many operations you're doing on a weekly, monthly basis, because we regularly see you in the skies.
Yes.
I mean, you cover the whole of the southeast, but we see you in Kent, obviously, because one of your bases is here in the county.
It is, and Kent's the busiest of the three counties. It has the most, it's got quite a challenging transport network. It's got a lot of throughput, people going down to the short straits crossing Dover and the Channel Tunnel. So Kent is busy. We do, on average, about 9 calls a day. Some days are busy, some days are thankfully a bit quieter. We are one of the busiest air ambulances in the UK, but we've got quite a big population and quite a big area to cover as well, all the way from the population in Thanet in East Kent right up to the London borders in Dartford.
Now, anyone who's able to help with donations to the charity is being urged to visit their website.
Kent Online reports.
An energy company has left its base at a business park in Ashford. EDF is relocating from its two-storey building on the Eureka site in Kennington to the Dungeon SB power station on Romney Marsh. The company say it follows a change of property strategy and no jobs have been lost. It's claimed parts of the Thanet Way and overbridges could be forced to shut if a funding bid fails. Kent County Council submitted an application for £63 million through the government's Structures Fund to fix issues on the A299. Bosses have been looking at a worst-case scenario, which would involve short-term repairs and possible closures if the money isn't approved. A Medway councillor is set to be investigated for the second time in a year. Chris Spalding, who represents part of the Hoo Peninsula, will be quizzed by the authority's Councillor Conduct Committee. It follows a complaint over payments for legal advice over a attempts to fight plans for 44 homes. Councillor Spalding hasn't responded yet to requests for a comment. Elsewhere, Canterbury City Council has been thrown into political turmoil after a coalition collapsed. The Lib Dems have withdrawn their support after the Labour group leader asked them not to vote against key planning applications. It's forced a reshuffle at the top of the authority, which has been run by the two parties since elections in 2023. Now, three lions have arrived at an animal park in Kent as part of a vital breeding programme. There are currently less than 600 Asiatic lions left in the world. Well, Theo, Rakesh and Thor are nearly 2 years old and are settling into life at Wingham Wildlife Park. Tony Binskin is the park's MD.
Big cats always take a while to settle down. They're never like, oh, this is just my new home. They're like, so but they are settling quick. So they come Friday night, but they're settling really quick. It's Tuesday day and they're sitting by us. They're not too bad. But they've got lots of places they can go off if they want to, and then they can come back. But they're doing really well.
Now, there's three of them that have arrived. Are they brothers? They're all boys, aren't they?
All boys, yeah, all brothers. They're 2 years old. Just starting to get their manes. They haven't really got their manes yet, but another like year and they get that big mane and they look really like beautiful. But yeah, they're really, really lovely.
And why have they come to Wingham? Tell us why it's so important that they've arrived.
They've come to us because they're a part of the EEP. So hopefully two of the boys are going to go off to other collections and then a girl come to us and then we're going to breed them. Okay, Asiatic lions are very low in the wild. So in one reserve in India, they have 400 and there's 200 sitting outside. So we only have 600 left in the wild, which is really sad. Okay, so the zoo's job now is to breed them in the zoos and eventually they will be released back. But all zoos have got a playing a part on doing the re-release or you know, and breeding them in captivity. So, like, we breed, another zoo might release them, so we do the breeding like that. So we all do a part of their conservation, so it's a really good thing.
I was surprised how low those numbers are, Bradley. I mean, you can't comprehend that, can you? I mean, that's no. When they say endangered, that's really endangered, isn't
it? Yeah, and it's all down to us, as human beings. So, as usual, we do all the damage, we do all the things. So it's always down to us, as everybody said, but we need zoos, though. A lot of people say, oh, what zoos is, you know, it's horrible, but we need them. We need these zoos because without them, conservation is not really done. Because zoos put so much money in the pot, okay, to do conservation for things like this and there are lots of other animals we do here at the park for conservation. So it's really important, really, really important.
And how proud are you of your involvement in it? As you say, you feel obliged to do it, but how proud are you of the work that you're doing?
I'm really proud. Yeah, really, really proud. So we don't just do them. We do other things as well. Like we look at the white-called crayfish. We look at the gooty tarantula. We do a lot of the smaller stuff, actually, which a lot of zoos sort of shy away from, but we don't want to shy away from them because we want to be a part of that as well. And now we've got these, bringing these in because we want to be, and I'm really proud to be a part of this. I mean, I've been here 18 years now, and for me, getting these sort of animals at the park, and now I'm hopefully, well, we will be a part of the breeding programme, and I think so, it's really, really important for me, really, really important. Yeah, it's so exciting, can't wait. You know, and I can't wait to get a female here and I can't wait to breed them. So, yeah, it'd be really, really great. Yeah.
Thanks so much to Tony for chatting to me. It's hoped their new enclosure will be open in the summer.
Kent Online News.
Two former nightclubs in Maidstone could be turned into flats. Plans have been put in to convert Beer Keller and Zinc Pop World in Maidstone. Both sites on Bank Street have been closed since last July. A family-run ice cream business has confirmed it's opening a new dessert parlour and coffee shop on Romney Marsh. Reynolds is moving into the new Changing Tides Coastal Centre in Greatstone, not far from New Romney. The company has been running for the past 20 years. We're told their van will make a permanent move to Folkestone Harbour Arm. And finally, the lineup lineup for this year's Pride event in Canterbury has been confirmed. It's celebrating its 10th anniversary and will return to the city's Dane John Gardens after they underwent a renovation. Well, John Fitter-Harding is one of the organisers and has been telling me what they've got lined up.
This year's lineup is looking amazing. We've got Atomic Kitten, we've got House Gospel Choir. We're also welcoming back Booty Love, who is a personal favourite of mine. I can't wait to see them again. And we're also welcoming back, who hasn't been for a few years, is Courtney Act. So it's going to be really exciting to see her on stage again. She hasn't been back to us for maybe 8 years, so it's going to be really cool to see her again.
John, Pride really is part of the calendar, isn't it? And you're marking your 10th anniversary this year.
It really is part of our city's calendar, and for us as a committee, it really is a bit of a landmark moment for us. You know, 10 years of Pride in Canterbury, and that is something for everyone to celebrate. Being back in the Dane John for our 10th anniversary feels incredibly special. It's such a beautiful, historic setting right in the heart of the city, and there's something powerful about bringing this much colour, joy and community spirit into a space that really does belong to everyone. It's front and centre, and that's exactly where Pride should be. So, yeah, really excited.
Now, the march is a very traditional part of any Pride event, isn't it? Is that happening?
The march is absolutely happening, and obviously everyone is welcome, whether you're part of the LGBTQ plus community, you're an ally or a family member or just someone who believes in equality. We've got all of our sponsors and supporters of the event. We've got community groups and charities who will be at the main event inside the gardens. We've got a few schools and everyone who wants to join us, really. So, yeah, if you want to be part of something amazing, then we'll see you down there.
Obviously, these events certainly aren't cheap to put on. Is there any way people can get involved and support it?
There's a few ways people can support us. Firstly, if you want to treat yourself, our Very Fabulous Person tickets are now available, which gets you fast track entry, a load of goodies, and you get to feel very fabulous for the day. So it's well worth it. Beyond that, we're a free event and we're determined to keep it that way, but that does not happen without support. So if you run a business or work for one that wants to show its stands with our community, please get in touch. Sponsorship is what keeps the gates open and the stage lit. So it's a brilliant way for businesses to show Canterbury who they are and what they stand for. So we would love to hear from you.
Thanks ever so much, John. Pride takes place in June, and Rob and Noomi from our sister radio station KMFM Breakfast will also be there.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis first up, and Kent's Emma Raducanu has withdrawn from the Italian Open. The British number one, who hasn't played since March, is suffering from a virus. It means she could head into the French Open in a couple of weeks without a single competitive match on clay this season. On to football, and a former Gillingham striker is available to sign after being released from relegated Northampton Town. Tom Eaves was their leading scorer with 10 goals, despite the side finishing bottom of League One. The 34-year-old left the Gills in 2019, with some fans suggesting he should be brought back to Priestfield after 16 players were released. And despite being crowned league champions, it's been confirmed Hawkinge Town won't be promoted. The club near Folkestone won the Kent County League Premier Division after going 22 games unbeaten, but the side won't be playing in the Southern Counties East League next season as their ground doesn't meet FA criteria. The team's management have also left the club. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.